Praise God. Brothers and sisters, I trust you are well and that the Lord is keeping you, sustaining you, and watching over your life. And we are in the book of Acts, and we are studying the journeys of the apostles. And we have been in Acts chapter 14, and where we were able to see how Paul went through so many persecutions in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, in Derbe, and were able to see that the Lord delivered him from them all. And he says that, you know what, we must go through many persecutions. We must go through many trials to enter into the kingdom of God. And he says, an evil man shall grow from worse to worse. So when he thinks of persecution, when we think of the troubles of being a believer, when we look at the challenges that are all around us, we can see that indeed it is a call to serve God. It is a call to honor God. It's a call to trust in Him. Despite the circumstances, despite the comforts, despite the things that are not right, one of the things that you will see about God is that God empowers His people. God strengthens them. But Jesus promised us also that if they did this to their master, then they shall also do the same. And a time is coming when men shall think they are doing a service unto God when they kill you, when they torture you. To them they shall be offering a service to God. But he says, flee from, if you are persecuted in one city, flee to another. I tell you, I assure you, you'll not finish going through all the cities until the Son of Man comes. So we see Paul go through this, and yesterday we were able to see how he was stoned. And this was in Derbe in Acts 14, verse 19. The Bible says, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, we're going to see a common pattern that we see about Paul and Barnabas and how they raised churches. What was the pattern of the early church in church planting? And one of the things that you see is that they focused it in cities. They went to cities, and cities were the places where people were, where the population were. And you know, one of the things about a city is that a city usually has its life. There's a life of a city. There is a religion of a city. You know, there are altars in cities. And with these altars, it also means there are religions, and there are also occupants. And you know, whenever you're going to fight and contend for the city, one of the things that they will do is that they will target their synagogues, because in all of these cities, the Jews had synagogues. Synagogues ideally were places of worship where every Sabbath the believers, the Jewish believers, would go and gather. And so one of the things that Paul and Barnabas will do is that they will go and pray along with the Jews, and then when they're given an opportunity to speak, then they will start declaring the message of the Christ. And you know, one of the things that it always made it possible is that there were Jews and Gentiles that were there, and whenever they heard the word of God, there were those that believed, but then there are also those that did not believe. And much of the common problems that arose for Paul and Barnabas is that they encountered the persecution from the Jews, and who most of the time came and poisoned also the mind of the Gentiles to turn away against them. Also, what we see is that there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that not only will they preach, they will also baptize the believers. Those that believe, they were baptized, and then they would also lay their hands on them, they will receive the Holy Spirit. There was the speaking in tongues. There was the working of miracles, God working out and confirming the word of his grace through signs, miracles, and wonders. And beyond that, there was something that was formed. Churches were formed. And these churches ideally were formed in homes. Ideally, Paul and Barnabas would either identify a location, a place, a theater where they will speak to disciples, where they will gather disciples, or they will go by the beach and gather disciples, or they will find a home where a believer will open up their home and they will use their home as a place, as a base where they will preach the gospel. And one of the important things is that they taught believers. They taught believers, be it for a short time, be it for a long time. One of the things that we see is that there was much teaching because they understood that it is in the teaching of believers that believers are multiplied. We said one thing, evangelism leads to the addition of believers, but discipleship leads to the multiplication. Why? Because in multiplication, every believer is raised to the level of the apostle, is raised to the level of their teacher, and they are able to go and also make other disciples. So a great focus on the church must be to make disciples of all nations. That means we must learn how the discipline of teaching believers, the discipline of training in doctrine, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. Now, in Acts 14, verse 21, now we see how they now go back to the churches that they have planted, and they strengthen them. And not only do they strengthen them, they appoint elders. And elders, when we look at elders, we see elders is a term that is used for the leaders of the church. One of the things that you will see, they describe themselves as elders. Peter writes to the church leaders and says, I write to you, fellow elders. And you know, he tells them that take care of the flock that God has placed under you, 1 Peter 5, and watch over them, not as because you are under compulsion, but because you are willing. Because when Christ, who is the chief shepherd, appears, he shall, you know, give you the crown. He shall give you the crown of his inheritance, and that blessing, for you have been faithful in taking care of the flock under your care. So elders is actually a word that is referred to leaders. Not only does it refer to deacons, pastors, you know, it basically refers to the leaders of the church. I know nowadays, yes, we have pastors, we have elders, we have deacons, but whenever we see the use of the word elders, it actually refers to church leaders. Now, verse 21 of Acts 14 tells us that, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, and here we are speaking of Derbe, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. You know, it's a simple statement, but if you think about Antioch, Lystra, Iconium, these are the places where they face persecution. He has just come from being stoned in Lystra, where they even believe he's dead. They drag him out of a city. The disciples gather around Paul and they pray for him, and he resurrects. He stands up and goes back into the city. The Bible is telling us that Paul went back to these places where he was persecuted. He had nothing to fear. He had an agenda. He knew that it was more important that he goes back to finish the work that he had started. Verse 22 tells us, they strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting, which is encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So, when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So one of the things that we see is telling them that we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. You know, someone will ask, but what do you mean? I thought it is just a matter of believing that we are saved. Why again do we need to
enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. Just to understand you that, you know, when we come to salvation, the Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when we speak of salvation, salvation is the work of God. No man can save himself. No man has the capacity to save himself. It is only except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born again, he cannot even enter the kingdom of God. Now, it speaks of an interesting thing that when you are born again through the Spirit of God, you are made alive. You are a child of God. But you see, when we speak of the kingdom of God, we speak of the rulership of heaven. And this is why I keep saying that we have many believers who are children of God, but they are disobedient sons of God. That means they have not yet grown into maturity to actually be effective as members of the kingdom of God or as servants of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God refers to the rulership, refers to the extension of God's authority and God's dominion on the earth. When we speak of kingdom, we speak of a king and we speak of his domain. Now, we speak of a king and his domain, we speak of a king and the territory over which he exercises his influence over. It is only a believer that comes under the influence and the lordship of God that is recognized or can be said that he has entered the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Now think of when we speak of the parable, when Jesus says, I liken the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins, 5 that were foolish and 5 that were wise, 5 that had oil and 5 that did not carry enough oil. Now he's saying the kingdom of God is actually, these virgins are actually those that have accepted God. They are believers. That means they have the same starting point. They have oil. But you see, it says through many tribulations. That means there is a perseverance, there is a following through, there is a working out of your salvation with fear and trembling. And it's not working for your salvation. It is a working out that which God has already given. That which God has already given by his grace and mercy. There is a day-to-day process that Jesus says, if anyone must come after me, he must daily take up his cross and follow me. This is calling forth. This is the calling forth of believers to maturity. When we say that through many tribulations we can enter the kingdom of God, that means that we enter into the purposes of God that God determined beforehand for you and me. And when we enter into those purposes, then we find our purpose. We find the true reason why God made us on the earth. And when you find your purpose, then you can become an effective witness for the gospel. The kingdom of God is about his influence, is about territory, is about being one that can stand in the gap, be one that can be a priest, be one that can be a king, be one that goes beyond just taking care of their own needs, but also can carry the weight of others, can carry the kingdom mandate, which is to spread the gospel, which is to tell people that the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. And this is what Jesus went on the earth and kept saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So the Bible tells us that they encourage the disciples. They tell them, continue in the faith, and telling them, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. I assure you, those that enter the kingdom of God are those that actually receive rewards. Remember the sons of Zebedee, when the mother comes to ask, Lord, in your kingdom, grant that my son, one son will sit on your right and on the other on the left. And Jesus said, what you have asked for, can you drink the same cup? Will you be baptized with the same baptism that I will go? And they said, yes, we are ready to drink the same cup of suffering and to be baptized with the baptism of death for you. But he says, even though, yes, you will do it, it is not for you, but it is for those whom my Father has prepared. There'll be those that will be in the kingdom. There'll be those that will be in the supper. There'll be those that will be by the side of the Lord, partaking of the meal together. There are those who will be given their mansion, their places, their thrones. And yet you will still have some who have yet escaped, yes, but they're still outside. And it says that there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That means that they're outside the kingdom. They can see all the benefits that even those in the world to come will experience. And that's why, based on your labor, and this is works that you do after salvation, not everyone shall be the same in the kingdom of God. The king always operates on faithfulness. Kingdom runs on faithfulness. And that is why you find believers exercising different kinds of authority and power in the kingdom. Yes, they're all born again, but one, God has given authority, exousia. God has said, these ones, I know you. I was intimate with you. Not that you prophesied in my name, not that you cast out devils in my name and I did not know you. I was not intimate with you. Yes, you are born again, but I did not know you. God wants to know us. God wants us to grow in intimacy. It is those that have committed themselves to serve him that God recognizes. Verse 23, so when they had appointed elders, and this he was spoken of the leadership in every church, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they have believed. One of the things about Paul is that because he was leaving these churches, you know, and this is the work of the apostolic work that he was doing. He will go and plant churches. And after he has preached to them and maybe persecution arises, then he is forced to leave and go to another place. But you see, the disciples that were there, he had already built them to the level that he can now leave them as functional churches. Now, because functional churches need leaders, there are roles. Remember, he tells Timothy that a leader, an elder, he that desires the office of a bishop or of an overseer, desires a noble thing. Appoint elders who are husband of one wife. They should not be given too much drunkenness. You know, all these qualities, they should know how to take care of their children. They should not be a novice. They should not be new to the faith. Otherwise, they'll fall under the condemnation of the devil. He tells Titus, the reason I left you in Crete was so that you can appoint elders, so that you can finish the work that I sent you. You know, so there is a need for leaders. And one of the things that we see that whenever they had appointed a church, whenever they had built a church, they made sure that they appointed elders, and these elders were the leaders. And because they are not going to be there, what do they say? Through prayer and fasting, they commit them into the hands of the Lord. They commended them to the Lord. Remember when he's leaving the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian leaders, he says, I commit you to the grace of the Lord that is able to keep you and guarantee for you an inheritance among those who are saved, you know, among the saints. So it is God, the grace of God, that is able to keep even the leaders, to keep the churches. And even in short periods, at times it was just 3 weeks in an area, but you see, there was a deposit of God. There was a preaching of God that God is able to keep even those who have believed in him. And when they are kept of God, then they stay saved and established. Verse 24. And after they had passed through Syria, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went to Attalia. From there they had sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work to which they had completed. Now when they had come together and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So we see this is a completion of the first missionary journey of Paul. They said eventually they came back to Antioch. Where was Antioch? Antioch of Syria, where they had originally started and they had been sent by the Holy Spirit to the work to which they had been called. This was a journey that they started even with John Mark, but John Mark abandoned them. They have gone through these towns. They have gone through Antioch of Syria. They went through Seleucia. They encountered the sorcerer Elymas. They dealt with him. They went to Antioch. They went to Syria. They went to Lystra. They went to Derbe. And in each of them, they went to Iconium. They were persecuted. They preached the gospel, but they made sure that churches were established. They appointed elders, committed them to the Lord with prayer and fasting, laid hands on them and tell them, the Lord keep you. The Lord will establish you. Now continue in the faith that you have grown. And then eventually they now go back preaching to the same churches that they had established in the cities. They come back and report to the church in Antioch. Look, we went, we have preached to these people and we thank God and praise God that a door of faith has been opened to the Gentiles. It is important that leaders are accountable. Come back and tell the church what you have done. Yes, you have been out. Yes, you have been doing this. Is there someone that you say that this is what I've done? Is there someone who can question you? What is the doctrine? What is the thing that you are teaching? What is the outcome of your ministry? Because even Paul says, my worry is this, that after I have preached to others, that I myself may not be disqualified from the prize or from the faith. We have a responsibility to follow the pattern of the apostolic church. There is a pattern of the apostolic church in planting churches. They did not focus on, oh no, we need to send only those that are ordained, or we need to send only those that have gone through Bible school. No. They worked with believers. Those believers that are mature, as they went, they preached. And when the people believed, they gathered the people. And they filled them with the Holy Spirit. They taught them. They established them. And from among those communities, from among those churches, they appointed leaders from among them. Because it is those believers that you have grown that become the leaders that are able to establish other churches. When you think about the missionary stories in China, the Bible, well, not really the Bible, but when you look at church history, you see that there was a time that God allowed them to start preaching the gospel. But then, due to the leadership, they had to leave. But you see, when they left and they came back, they found that those churches had grown and multiplied. Why? Because the believers that they left carried on preaching the gospel, and they preached the gospel, they appointed leaders, and the leaders went on and preached and preached and preached. I tell you, trials can never stop the work of God. One man who is filled with the Holy Spirit, one man who is established in the things of God, can turn around a city, an entire city, an entire nation for the gospel. May God help us to be those men that he can send. When he says, I am looking for a man, can he find that man in you? Can he find you available, ready to be used by God for his glory? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your children. I thank you for the pattern that you've shown us, O God, that indeed you desire that the kingdom be established. You desire that men and women go forth into the world and make disciples of all nations. And we can see the pattern of the early church, the pattern of Barnabas and Paul, that they ensured that churches were established in every city through their disciples that they taught, and they established leaders. And indeed, from that, they were able to go back and strengthen them. I pray for a spirit of church planting, O God. I pray for the heart of evangelism, O God, that indeed men shall be encouraged to go forth and to fulfill the commission of God, to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that you have commanded. Remember missionaries in various places. May your hand and power be with them. May your strength and courage walk with them. Strengthen them, O God. I pray for provision. Those that feel discouraged in the mission field, O God, remember them, O God. Strengthen them, O God. Send them help from on high, O God, and give them the power they need to overcome every work of the devil. Remember your children, those that are serving God in various places, be it in the marketplace, be it in their workplaces, that your hand shall be with them. Strengthen, encourage, and be with them. Keep and strengthen them. But remember those that are sick, O God. May your hand of healing be with them, O God. Provide for your children. Watch over them. Keep them. Sustain them. And encourage them. In all these things, we look unto you. Your promises are yes and amen. We honor you. We adore you and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Shalom and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.